trumped in Zion, raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep fears. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Good morning, Patriots. I have lost my video screen. I'm not sure where I am. So everybody just hang on tight because I don't know where I am. Everybody, I literally don't know where I ended up. I don't know. It's gone. I'm gone. I'm here. You hear my voice.
I see you.
Okay. I don't see you. Hang on, everybody.
Holy mountain, let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, this is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Hey there, Patriots. Here I am. Hey there, I'm glad to see you. I hope you guys are having a great day. I'm Melissa Redpill, and then my lovely assistant, Miss Tammy. Hello, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad that we're here together, you guys. Yeah, I tried to get all fancy and stuff, and I hit the wrong button. But anyway, yeah, I should just leave it alone. I'm so glad that we're here together, especially during this week. It's been a very difficult week. As you guys very well know, and I'm just so glad that the Lord brought us together so that we can keep each other encouraged and to trust the plan, trust the Lord. I'm telling you, be careful about your social media feed. Tammy and I were just talking about that. There's obviously people are getting some very, very, very bad advice in their social media feed. And so that's why, you know, on my social media, I've been really trying to make sure that we, you know, are speaking what the Lord would have us to speak and, you know, think through this and not clickbaity, you know, and be really careful with clickbait, really, everybody, especially right now, because it's crazy out there. So we are going to look at the current events in the light of God's word, what we always do here. If you're new, let me back up. That's not it. All right. So this is my website right here, Melissa Redpill. That's my website, and I have lots of videos. My wonderful team, Melly, has helped put all these videos over there. I've got Tammy and Cheryl and Colleen, and I have others who are just wonderful. We have such a wonderful team to help make this happen. So if you want to go and watch some of the other videos about end times, go over to the video section and literally just everything is at your fingertips for free over there. Easy to find. Hopefully, it's a lot of videos, but you can find what you want just by searching a keyword, hopefully, or a date. And also, you can check out this page right here, because this is the detail about end times, the intro about end times. So check that one out. But today what we're doing is this book right here, the study guide for End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. The Minor Prophets are amazing. I didn't know how amazing they were until I woke up and I realized this is they were telling us about this day. Today we're doing the book of Micah, and I will probably not finish because it's a kind of a longer book than some of the others. Like we just did Habakkuk, that was 3 chapters, so we were able to, you know, knock that out. Yes, we could have gone slower, but you know, basically I wanted to just you to have it all in one video, and the same thing with the book of Joel. But Micah's a little bit longer, and I don't want to rush, so let's just do this one in 2 weeks. So we're going to go through question, I think, number 11 in the study guide. If you're not familiar with where the study guides are, you just go on Amazon and just type End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, and you'll find my whole series. This is the Decode of Revelation. It's on for they got it on markdown for 75% off for $2.99, which I don't know. That's great. I don't know what that means. But anyway, I'm glad they did that. I didn't have anything to do with that. They do things on their own. Anyway, so this is basically, if you look here at the Revelation Decode, you'll see everything right there. And while you're there, if you can make sure to put reviews on the books that you have read, that would really be great. Anyway, so yeah, don't forget to hit the like button right now, everybody. Hit the like button and make sure to always share this great information because there's a lot of folks who are very scared right now. Very scared. Very scared. And so we are full of faith. In the middle of all this, we are full of faith. We know that this is the Lord is going to deliver us from our enemies. He's going to. And I think the Lord has really amazing plans for Charlie Kirk. We'll talk about that later. But let's pray before we start and trust the Lord that he's gonna guide us. Thank you so much, Lord, that you always speak to our hearts. Thank you for Charlie's wonderful life and his wonderful example to all of us to trust in you and to put you first. And then we have no regrets. And Lord, I thank you that absent from the body, present with the Lord immediately. And just I thank you for his the ministry that will go on and I believe will grow and that nothing can stop it because of your spirit in us. And I pray that you'll just, instead of causing anyone to fear, I pray that this will cause us to be bold and courageous and strong and to realize that our life is just like that verse he always quoted, that we are living for the one who died for us. We live for you. And our times are in your hands. Nothing can change any of that. This is you have a plan completely of how you want to at work in this world to achieve the goal of your kingdom to come and your will to be done on this earth. And we just completely trust your plan. Be with us now as we study your word. Your word is truth. We pray that you bring the truth out today as we study, but also all throughout social media. Help us to bring the truth to people because the truth is what sets us free. And again, we just pray for all those who are hurting. We pray you'd comfort them and help them to feel your presence and know that you are with us no matter what. We pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, today, like I said, we are in the study guide. So there's for those of you who are new, we have the book and then we have the study guide that Tammy was holding up. And then here's the answer key. So what I really always want you to do is read the book and try to soak it in as much as possible. And then like Tammy's always the good girl, she does her homework. you go through the questions and you see if you really understood it and you write down the questions to you the best of your ability. And if you need to, you can always have the answer key to go through. And especially if you're leading a small group study. So we've done all these other studies. So if you want to go back on to melissaredpill.com and pull all these other ones and watch those, that'd be wonderful. But today we're doing Micah. We will see their downfall. And so this one is about vengeance. This one is about the vengeance of the Lord. The Lord will mete out vengeance on the evildoers. Okay? Those who have literally sided with the demons to destroy humanity. And just remember that a lot of the people that you see on social media are just brainwashed. They are just brainwashed. They have believed what they've been told on their feed, in the algorithms. And so they are not who we're talking about here today. The ones we're talking about that's not them. Okay. So just, I want to make sure that we're very, very clear on that. So I think, let's see, this was Joel. Let me scroll down. We did Habakkuk last week. Here we are on, sorry about that. I had it set, but okay, there, Micah. It says, we will see their downfall. Now, I doubt that any of you have ever heard a sermon from Micah, except for one. There's one passage in here, and I put this on the social media when I posted about this video, that the verse that you've heard, you know, what have I shown you, oh man, but to love, what is it, do justice, and to walk humbly with your God. I always get it mixed up. Anyway, we'll get to that one in Micah 6. So that verse is the one verse you might have heard in all of your days from the book of Micah. But you're going to find, I asked the question on social media, what was the verse just before that? So it might shock you that what that verse is in context. But before Tammy starts reading, I just want to make sure that you guys understand that when Micah wrote this prophecy, when the Lord put it in his heart to write down this prophecy, he was writing to the people of the northern tribes of Israel who were being cast out of their land because they had involved themselves in Baal worship. And that's why they had to be rooted out of the land, that they could not continue or they would just be destroyed. Okay? You cannot continue to do this where they would sacrifice babies, and they cannot, and you just can't do that and continue. That's just, the Lord says, you've got to get you out of here because this cannot go on. Okay, so there is, Micah's talking to them, but the thing I'd never understood until I was awakened by the Lord is that these minor prophets are also talking about the what's happening at the end times. Clearly, these minor prophets were telling us about what's happening right now in the end times. So it's a dual fulfillment. So you've got to always look at it in that light. Right, Miss Tammy?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a, just keep that in mind. With every verse that we read, it has a dual fulfillment for what Micah was going through back in the day and also what we're going through now. All right. So, So then you're going to see how the Lord is very angry with people. And my question is, what in the world could these people have done that the Lord's anger was so hot against them, right? All right. I was just trying to get this screen to go away. So bear with me real quick. I'm going to try to, I'm trying to hide the flow. Okay, that's it. That's what I hit earlier. I hit the wrong button, and it made our video go away instead of that little screen. I just want to make sure this is out of the way so everyone can read along with Tammy. All right, you ready? Micah, chapter 1, verse 8. All right, go ahead.
Okay. For this I will lament and wail. I will go stripped and naked. I will howl like the jackals and mourn like the ostriches. For her wounds are incurable, for it has come even to Judah. It reaches to the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Shave your heads and cut off your hair for the children of your delight. Enlarge your baldness like the vulture, for they have gone into captivity from you.
Right. Yeah. Clearly, he's very upset. He's lamenting. He's wailing because the people are being, just imagine all the people being gathered up by the Assyrian army and carted off and, families separated, having nothing but the clothes on their backs, having no rights, no telling what might happen to you along the way. I mean, all of it. But he says it's because her wounds are incurable. The wounds of doing all the evil, it was something that could not be fixed except for some serious discipline. Now, we talked about that last week, that famous passage from Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God is dealing with you as with a son. So this is what's happening to the people of Israel. Because of their evil, the Lord didn't just say, well, forget it, just let them go, let them do it, whatever, forget it. It's not, they're not, you know, not my kids. No, he said, these are my kids. This is my family. I will discipline them. And even, this is a really important point, very, very important. Even to this day, we still have not yet been, have not returned to the land. Okay. And that's what the golden age is about. That's what the millennial kingdom is about. We're not trying to return to a plot of land in the Middle East. We're trying to have a land where there's freedom and peace, and the enemy is completely eradicated, where the demons are gone. That's what the millennial kingdom is about. So anyway, so he's lamenting and he's wailing. You know, and no, it also says in Hebrews 12, it says there's no discipline for the moment seems joyous but grievous. Nobody likes to get, you know, a spanking or a fine, or, you know, no one likes that. He says, but afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. This is Hebrews chapter 12, 6 and 7. You know, this is what was going to have to happen. That happens in my life. That happens in your life. That happens in, you know, it personally. But it also happens collectively. And in the world, the Lord has been disciplining his people until that day when the evildoers will be taken out. All right, so shave your heads. It was just, it was a very, very sad day. Enlarge your ball, that's like the vulture. They've gone into captivity from you. All right, so this was, yeah, that's what that was, that was what was happening in the book of Micah. All right, again, the dual fulfillment. Now, let's read this passage. Micah, yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You have the book open or the study guide?
Oh,
we weren't following along.
Oh dear. Okay. Cause I was looking for where's the question. Okay. Thank you so much. You're the best. Okay. Well, you can go ahead while I'm doing this. You can go ahead and read Micah 2 and I'll pull up the other one. Thank you so much.
Sure.
So
question for number 2 was who does it sound like the Lord is talking about in Micah 2:1-4? Woe to those who despise inequity and work evil on their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and seize them, and houses, then take them away. They oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, Yahweh says, behold, I am planning against these people a disaster from which you will not remove your necks. Neither will you walk haughtily, nor for it is an evil time. In that day they will take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation, saying, we are utterly ruined. My people's possession is divided up. Indeed, he takes it from me and assigns our fields to traders. There, that looks
good. That's the one. Thank you. Yes, thank you. It got the wrong file open. It had the same verses. It just didn't have all the questions. All right, so yes. All right. Right. So, who does that sound like?
Mm-hmm. New World Order cabal.
Clearly, the demon. Yeah, clearly the New World Order cabal, the Satan worshippers. Right? Who's it talking about? Woe to those who devise iniquity and work evil on their beds. I mean, they're just always like thinking of something evil to do. It really shocks me sometimes when, you know, they've just, you know, done one war and they're like, oh, we need to start another one. It's just shocking to our system, because this is, you know, we're trying to work peace and they're like, oh, we got to do more and more and more war. They covet fields and seize them. And that's really what confiscatory taxes are. They sit there and go, okay, we're going to impoverish them by just little by little eroding away any assets that they might have. They oppress a man and his house, even a man with his heritage. Like your children, if your children are oppressed, they're oppressing all of us. This is what they do. And, but I'm planning against these people a disaster from which you will not remove your necks, neither will you walk haughtily, for it is an evil time. In that day, people will take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation, saying, we are utterly ruined. My people's possession is divided up. Indeed, he takes it from me and assigns our fields to traitors. Okay, so the first fulfillment, remember I was talking about the dual fulfillment? First, the first fulfillment is that the people were being punished for their sin. and for doing Baal worship, and they had to have all their lands, everything that they had to be given to someone else because they had to leave and become captives, slaves. Okay, but it's also talking about the fulfillment now, and that is that these evildoers are going to have everything taken from them. This is where the Lord is leading us, where they will be the ones who will be captive in hell. I mean, that's what it's about. We will win and they will lose, and we will be free and they will be gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anything else you want to add on that one? Huh?
What? No, that's absolutely.
Yep.
That's,
yes.
We win.
And so this parable against them, we are going to be saying that parable. We're going to be saying, oh, we're making fun of them. Oh, we're utterly ruined. Meh, sorry. You know, that's really the mocking. And we talked about that, I think, in Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Joel these past 2 weeks, that there's a mocking that we do against them. And the Lord is encouraging us to mock them because he's saying, look, understand that these people are your enemies. They're not your friends. They're not someone who you can reason with. They are your sworn enemies. And it's great to mock them and say, oh, too bad for you that you're ruined, because this is we have to accept that they have to be punished and removed from us. Okay? All right, number 3.
Who does the Lord say the people are listening to in Micah 2:11? If a man walking in a spirit of falsehood lies, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and of strong drink, he would be the prophet of this people.
Yep. I was just talking about that. I don't know if you guys saw, I think it was when I was talking with Nino yesterday on the show. There are people who are, you know, in the church who are not speaking the truth to people and telling them the truth about sin and evil. And, you know, our wonderful brother, Charlie Kirk, told the truth in love, but he told the truth. And, you know, he did not sugarcoat it. He did not say, oh, it's okay to, you know, be drunk and, you know, like this talk about it here in this Micah chapter 2. It's okay to be on drugs. It's okay to be transgender. He didn't say that. He said, you know, everybody get right with the Lord and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. He spoke that very strong and very clear, and that is why they killed him. His message was getting out, and the young men were saying, okay, we don't want to be part of this pornography culture. We don't want to be, you know, all they were, yeah, he was I was saying this yesterday, that I think he was more of a preacher, a minister of the gospel, than really a political activist, you know? And I think that he used his political activism as a tool for the gospel. You know? So, great. I thought that was terrific. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and he would say, I always get in trouble when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Right, right, you know? Right. So. And so I don't think that we've had a lot of preachers. I think they're just kind of being careful, clearly, because they know how dangerous it is. It's much easier to just do the easy stuff and not speak the truth. You know, but the whole point about being a someone who speaks the word of God is that you have to speak all of it. You can't just, you know, pick and choose. So that's the problem with the people back in Micah's day too. They were listening to false teachers who were saying it's okay to do Baal worship. I mean, it's like outrageous, right? And so, oh, if I prophesy of you of wine and strong drink, you know, that would be the kind of prophet these people will listen to. This is the problem. They were not listening to, you know, to the true, like Micah. All right. So now, what's going to happen?
Okay. So number 4.
Yeah.
Even as the Lord is punishing his people, what is he reminding them and us will happen one day? Micah 2:12-13. I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as a sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the middle of their pasture. They will swarm with people. He who breaks open the way goes up before them. They break through the gate and go out. Their king passes on before them, and Yahweh at their head.
Okay, great. All right, so that's the whole passage. All right, so this, oh. I love this. You know, even this is what's so great, and you know, if anybody has, you know, children, I'm sure you do the same thing, that even when you're punishing them, you're saying, I know that you don't like this punishment, but this is going to help you to learn, to remember to obey, right? And so that's what a good parent does. And this is what the Lord is doing in this passage. He's saying, even in the middle of being punished, even in the middle of their time of being cast out of the land, the Lord is saying, I'm not doing this to destroy you. Remember Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Understand, Jeremiah was telling the same thing. He's the lamenting prophet because he's sad because these people are being cast, the people of God are being cast into captivity. And so he's really, you know, heartbroken about it. But he says the Lord, he prophesied that the Lord knows the plans he has for us to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. And clearly, where they were, what they were doing was not helpful. And so here we go. It says, he says, I will put them in the future. This has been over 2,000 years ago, okay? Probably 2,700 years ago. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the middle of the pasture, and there'll be a swarm of people. And he will break open the way. He who breaks open the way goes up before them. They break through the gate and go out. In other words, being set free. And we're really at, that's where we are in humanity. We're at the door of humanity being set free from our enemies. He was telling Micah, telling the people that through Micah all back in the day. Their king passes on before them. That's our Lord Jesus. Yahweh at their head. He's leading, as you always hear me, you know, reading Joel chapter 2 a lot of times when we start the videos. He leads us with a shout. He's leading us out of captivity into the promised land, into the golden age. All right. Did you have something else to add, Miss Tammy?
I'm good.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that was number 4. Let's go with number 5.
Who is the passage in Matthew 23:31-33 and Micah 3:1-3 directed toward, and why is the Lord calling them out? So Matthew 23 says, therefore you testify to yourselves that you are children of those who killed the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you offspring of vipers, how will you escape the judgment of Gehenna? Right. Micah 3:1 says, I said, please listen, you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel. Isn't it for you to know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear off their skin and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and peel their skin from off them and break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as meat within the cauldron.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a tough passage to read. Micah chapter 3 is a tough passage to read because he's calling out the leaders, saying, you people are evil. Remember our Lord Jesus when he took it to the evildoers, the leaders in his day, and he called them a brood of vipers, right? It just this passage right here in Matthew 23, you're a brood of vipers. He called them out. He says, you're whitewashed tombs. People walk over you. They don't even know who, you know, what they're walking over. They don't realize you're just full of deadness. You know, he was calling them out, and that is why, if you read Matthew 23, it'll make your hair stand on end. He took it straight to them. You know, Jesus did not play, and this is why they killed him. They said, well, we're putting him on a cross immediately. And it was that very night. They're like, we got to arrest him. And they got there. It was because he was there from the triumphal entry until Thursday night, I think it was. Either way. So, yeah, he's here in Micah 3. He's calling them out. He says, these people, they hate good. They love evil. They tear off the skin and the flesh from their bones. What's he talking about? Clearly, it's not just hyperbole. It's not just literary, you know, that they are horrible to us, which is true, but it's worse. It's literal. these people are ravenous demons. These people are, like I said before, cannot be reasoned with. They, you know, you cannot even, John even said in 1 John chapter 5, I think it is, he says, I'd say not even to pray for such. These people who are taken in demons, if you think, oh, then they say, oh, see, we put our faith in Jesus. See, you don't have to arrest us. You don't have to punish us. You don't have to, execute us for our crimes against humanity. See, because we put our faith in Jesus. They'll lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. You cannot trust these people. They're evil. And Micah 3 is telling us this. He was trying to tell them, and it's there in God's word for anyone to read. They peel their skin from off them. They break their bones. They chop them in pieces as for the pot, the cooking pot, as meat within the cauldron. This is the witch's brew. This is these people. Do I need to tell any y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Do I need to go any farther? These people are pure evil. They are, taken in demons from the pits of hell, and the demons have caused them to do evil beyond what we can even think about. Okay, so Micah was calling them out. Our Lord Jesus was calling them out. These same people, and they've risen to power as not just political leaders, but in the temple. He was calling out the temple leaders. And this is exactly who he's calling out here in Micah. He's saying, listen, you heads of Jacob, rulers of the house of Israel. Right? Isn't it your job to know justice? But you hate good. This is who we're up against. I don't think I have to really prove it, especially this week, because we've seen abject evil on social media. People rejoicing at the slaughter of this good man. And it's really been very shocking to the system. Really has been. Somehow or another, we're going to be united. Somehow. It's going to be a miracle. We need a miracle, right? All right, number 6.
On what have the leaders of Israel built their foundation, and what has the Lord promised in Micah 3:9-12 will happen to them? Please listen to this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who built up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her leaders judge for bribes, and her priests teach for a price, and her prophets of it tell fortunes for money. Yet they lean on Yahweh and say, isn't Yahweh among us? No disaster will come on us. Therefore, Zion, for your sake, will be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem will become heaps of rubble, and the mountains of the temple like the high places of a forest.
Right, exactly. So that's what have the leaders of Israel built their foundation on? What did the Lord promise would happen to them?
Right. Murder, corruption, evilness.
Right. Ugh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Bribes. The priests teach for a price. And the prophets tell fortunes for money. I don't think we've done Balaam yet. Have we? I think Balaam's coming up. Have we done Balaam? No, you know what? That's not in here. I don't think that's actually in the book. No, that's not in here. That one's in the book. This is biblical. Yeah. The 17 Bible stories. Because that's the whole point of Balaam. It's in the book of Judges. He's not a minor prophet. So Balaam would literally go and say whatever someone wanted him to say for money. But on this day, the Lord literally would not let the words come out of his mouth. It was amazing. But the Lord was telling us through that story about Balaam that this is what there are a lot of people do. They will only, they're going to speak the word only if it really benefits them. And they're not going to speak something that is, they're afraid it's going to hurt their pocketbook. All right? So, yeah, that's in this book right here. When you go to Revelation Decode, this one right here. Let me scroll down. This one right here. This is biblical. That Balaam is in that one. Yeah, that one's That one's something. That's the one with the donkey talked to him. Remember that story? Quite the story. Okay, now, so yeah, he's that was funny. Yeah, the donkey had more sense than he did. All right, so yeah, this is what he's calling them out, and he was warning us not to trust. You've got to look at someone's actions, and yeah, that's, again, you see it. We're looking at someone who was a, quote, political activist who is telling more truth than most preachers, you know? All right, so, they lean on Yahweh. Oh, isn't Yahweh among us? No disaster will come upon us. You continue in your evil ways. Continue worshiping Baal. Continue that. Nothing is going to happen. Do not think, oh, God loves us. We're everything. You know, this is what he wants you to do. Literally, that's coming up in Micah 6. So this is what these evil prophets were, you know, just leading the people to evil. And I will say this, I really appreciate how Charlie Kirk always connected that this is, the Lord has these rules because it damages you. It damages our society if we do evil. It's not just because he's just trying to spoil someone's fun. He realizes this damages you if you participate in these things. You know, I can't go into all the details, but I mean, just anyone who's involved in pornography, it destroys them. Homosexuality, it destroys them. It destroys the society. You know, anyone who's involved in, you know, the bribes or the injustice, it destroys the society. You know, the abortion, like the woman was saying, she's speaking to some students on a campus similar to, you know, what Charlie has always done. She had, you know, several kids there, and she found out that Charlie had been shot, and these kids literally laughed. That tells, she said, this is the result of an abortion culture where you have no respect and regard for the sanctity of life. And so she said, this is where we are in our society. This is the problem. It tears down at your heart, and it tears down at society. And this is what it says. Therefore, for your sake, Zion will be plowed. Therefore Zion, for your sake, will be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem will become heaps of rubble, and the mountain of the temple like the high places of a forest. The Lord says, I'm going to have to remove you out of here. It'll be like I plowed everybody up and plowed them and gotten them out, you know, and everything's going to be like a heap of rubble, because that's the only way to save the society, is to get and to make some serious, big, huge changes. All right. But as far as the fulfillment that we're seeing now is that the evildoers are going to be plowed up and removed. All right. You see the dual fulfillment, everybody? All right. So someone was saying something about Zechariah chapter 1, verse 15. And I was trying to figure out what was that about? Somebody wanted to type the verse. What that was that they were talking about. I can look that up and see. But I was wondering what you guys were talking about. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, literally. Okay, so I'll look at that. Maybe you guys can type that for me. Now, you'll love Micah chapter 4. It's a beautiful chapter about the millennial kingdom. Isn't the Lord wonderful how in the middle of telling all this stuff that just curdles the stomach, he... And puts us in heartbreak and fear. At the same time, he reminds us of the blessings that are coming and to continue to hold out hope. And that's what I tried to do this week in the heartbreak that I was feeling, is to always keep our eye on what the Lord is going to do and the blessings that are ahead, even in the middle of our heartbreak, right? All right, yeah. So, and then in here is one of the verses that I quote all the time, and you're going to catch it. So, imagine the Lord's people leading in every place. We're starting to see it. It's going to get bigger and brighter, but imagine that. Imagine, you know, I'm so thankful RFK is doing such an amazing job. I think that's why there was this attack this week, but... You know, it's going to be so beautiful when you have all, you know, all these righteous people in all these positions all over the world. So Read that to us, Miss Tammy.
Okay. But in the latter days, it will happen that the mountain of Yahweh's temple will be established on the top of the mountains, and it will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will go and say, "Come, let's go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths." For the law will go out of Zion, and Yahweh's word from Jerusalem, and he will judge between many peoples, and will decide concerning strong nations afar off. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift sword against nation, neither will they learn war any more. But every man will sit under his vine and under his fig tree. No one will make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of armies has spoken. Indeed, all the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our God, forever and ever.
Yes. Did you guys recognize a verse that I quote a lot? Right? I love that. So thankful. So thankful. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and neither will they learn war any more. And I just love the one right after it. But every man will sit under his vine and under his fig tree. No one will make them afraid. We're going to get to that point. We are going to get there. We are going to get there. No one to make us afraid. It's hard to even imagine. Really, I'm just saying, especially after this week, how could this be? This is going to be obviously the Lord setting us free. But yeah, it says that it will happen that the mountain of Yahweh's temple will be established at the top of the mountains. And of course, you guys have been here long enough. You know it's not about a physical plot of land in the Middle East. It's about his temple. It's you. It's me. It's all of his people who love him all over the world. It's people who maybe have been misunderstood about what Jesus came to do. You know, Muslims or Buddhists or even some of the Jews, whatever they, but everyone will come together. Everyone will unite. It says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. Everybody will realize, hey, he's the Lord. He is the one. And they'll, you know, that is the temple that will be established. All of God's people will be established and to know him. It says they'll know, everyone will know him from their least to their greatest. And amazing. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. Do you want to add something, Miss Tammy? Okay. Yeah, you're just enjoying it. I know. I love this passage. What is it?
I just said I am. I'm enjoying this.
I love this. I know. Much better than Micah 3, right? So I like Micah 4. We got to take the good with the bad, though. Anyway, so he says he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. We're working on, Tammy's and I are working on the book about the golden age. And you know, I was just working on the chapter, The Golden Age of Faith. And that, you know, he will teach us. He even now is teaching us. He's teaching us what it is to have peace in the world, what it is to have equity, how to have a free speech, but it has to be truth. And we cannot continue to have these algorithms controlling speech, which is what's really happening right now. I just posted something last night about, you know, the Smith-Mundt Act that was removed during the Obama period, bringing that back and calling it the Charlie Kirk Act. Because you have to be able to speak the truth and not be afraid that someone's going to shoot you, right? So I think that would be a great way to honor him and also to help turn this tide back, because, you know, and it would affect not just, you know, CNN or whatever. It would affect all the big tech media, social media, right? Facebook and all this. It would affect people like, you know, me, social, you know, influencers. We can't throw something out there that is not true just because it gets clickbait. I'm going off the subject a little bit, but this is the Lord will teach us how to have free speech, but within guardrails so that it's not causing all of this, what happened to this young man becoming so, radicalized that he thought, you know, that he needed to go and do this horrible thing. So, and that those who would be behind this, who would cause this, would be held to an account. This is what it really has to boil down to. The Lord is showing us in very, sometimes very hard ways. You know, before it was on a piece of paper. You're like, okay, it's important to have free speech and blah, blah, blah. But now we're like, Oh my gosh, we need free speech. We have got to have free speech, and we have to have people held to an account if they are causing this radicalization. He will teach us. He will teach us. And then we'll be able to sit under a vine and under the fig tree, and no one will make us afraid. And everyone will, all the nations, do y'all see that? All the nations will walk in the name. They all walk in the name of their God, but we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our God, forever. All right, so this is what he was talking about. He was telling the people, yes, this is what we're up against, but we're going to continue to walk with the Lord until everyone does, until the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. All right, number 8.
Praise. In Micah 4, 6 through 8, the Lord is giving us more insights into what it will be like when Christ rules the earth. Describe this great day in your own words. In that day, says Yahweh, I will assemble that which is lame, and I will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted. And I will make that which was lame a remnant, and that which was cast off a strong nation. And Yahweh will reign over them on Mount Zion from then on, even forever. You, tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it will come true. Yes, the former dominion will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem.
Oh, who loves some Micah 4? Yay! I will assemble that which was lame. I will gather those which have been driven away and have been afflicted. That's us. We've just been taking it on the chin over and over and over. I'll make them which was lame a remnant. And don't forget, the whole point about a remnant, I didn't really understand. What do you mean by remnant? Now, I've told you before, but for those of you who either weren't here or forgot, when you sew a dress, you have to cut out the cloth, and you cut the pattern out for the dress, set the dress aside, and then you have all these little scraps, all these little remnants, all these little tiny pieces that are left over. And those are the ones that have been scattered. That's us. God's people. This whole point about the book of Micah is that the people were being scattered all over the world. And we were scattered so that we would be out from under their control construct, and so that the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. You know, he has sent us all over the world, and that's where he wants his people to scatter out. And so we're the remnants. We're the little pieces. We're the little scraps, the scrappy bunch that are all over the world, and that but wherever we are, it doesn't say it here, but in another place it says that even in the far off lands that you will call upon my name, the remnant will do that. We are the remnant. It's not meaning a small, I used to think it meant like a small portion. It's only like 10%. That's not the connotation. That's a misunderstanding. The understanding is that we're the pieces that were scattered like seed scattered all over the world, so that we would blossom wherever he had, we landed, right? All right, so this is about the remnant. Whenever you see the word remnant, think about that, okay? And for anyone who has never made a dress, whatever, sewn a dress, go watch a YouTube video or something, because it's, you know, it'll help you understand what I mean by the scraps of cloth. All right, and that we've been, we were cast off, and we'll become a strong nation. The holy nation, right? A nation not in a border. It's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, Jesus's millennial kingdom. This is his nation. All right. Don't think about a little, France or that kind of thing. This is the nation of the Lord, and there's no borders for that. All right. And Yahweh will reign over them. How about that? On Mount Zion. Mount Zion is just symbolically the spirit, the city of God, even forever. He's our king, and he will rule and reign in the millennial kingdom. Love it. All right. Anything else you want to add on that?
Okay.
The former dominion will come. Mm-hmm. The former dominion will come. So don't worry. It will come, though it tarries. We talked about this in Habakkuk 2 last week. If it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come, and it will not be delayed. You know, it feels like forever, but the former dominion will come. We will have, we will rule and reign with him on this earth. This is why the enemy's fighting so hard. They just can't stand the thought of that. That makes those demons shriek to think that they will be cast out and we will inherit the kingdom and the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. Those who love the Lord. That's what meek is. All right. So number 9.
Micah 4, 9 through 10 is one of many biblical passages about the woman in labor. This phrase was a sign of distress for the Israelites who were being exiled to Babylon for a season. The literal heavenly woman in labor sign, also known as the sign of the Son of Man, appeared September 23rd, 2017, and was a sign of travail and distress for the entire world.
All right, before we go on, yeah, so this is the sign of the Son of Man. Most everyone has seen this. If you haven't, go to my page, melissaredpill.com, and you just scroll down to the bottom. Let me just take you there right now, and you will see it. It's always there. melissaredpill.com. You scroll down and you will see this beautiful sign that's called the sign of the Son of Man. It's also called the woman in labor in the Old Testament. It is delineated in Revelation 12, 1 and 2. For there was a woman clothed with the sun. Let me go back to this. Clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and 12 stars on her head. Normally you have 9 stars, which is from the tribe of Judah, but on this particular day, there were 3 other stars that came into alignment, made this exact sign, including where it says, she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered, and that is Jupiter, the Christ star, entering into her womb and making a loop. I literally saw this in the heavens. It happened over a 42-week period of time, and I could see Jupiter going round and round and round day after day and until it completed this loop, and this exact sign that the Lord had for us in his word 2,000 years ago. 1 month after this was when we started to get the posts from 17, and the world started to wake up, and the battle started to rage. This is the Battle of Armageddon. That's what this is all about. So this is in this passage in Micah chapter 4, 9 through 10, it's going to talk about the woman in labor. This is what it's talking about right here. One other quick thing, very, very interesting, is that on the very day that Jupiter entered into Virgo's womb, so to speak, was the day that President Trump was elected. You cannot make this up. The Lord is in control for sure. He's in control. All right, so for years, patriots have been travailing in labor to produce law and order in the earth, to usher in his kingdom, right? His kingdom come, his will be done. It's been a lot, right? What did the New World Order cabal think that sign symbolized? They thought it symbolized it. Yeah, their defeat over us, right? Okay, so what does Micah 4, 9 say? 9 through 2, 9, 9 okay. and 10.
Now, why do you cry out loud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished? That pains have taken hold of you as a woman in travail? Be in pain and labor to give birth, daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now you will go out of the city and will dwell in the field and will come even to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There Yahweh will redeem you from the hand of your enemies.
Amen. Amen. Don't forget that last verse. There you will be rescued. That's where we are on the timeline of history, you guys. That's where we are. Micah chapter 4, 10b. You will be rescued, and Yahweh will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. The Lord will cast out. This is the whole point of Armageddon, is to cast out the beast and the false prophet. These people who've literally taken in demons, okay, who've risen to these levels of positions of authority, just like in Jesus' day, as the leaders in the temple and the leaders in the government and the leaders in the everything. So why do you cry out aloud? Is there no king in you? Why are you crying? Has your counselor perished that pains have taken hold of you as a woman in travail? Okay, so he's saying, look, for the first fulfillment, back in the day, in Micah's day, he says, why are you crying? You knew you were going to be punished. You knew this was going to happen. I'd warned you and warned you and warned you. If you didn't stop this Baal worship, you were going to be cast out of the land. Why are you surprised? Why are you like, I'm having a baby? Well, a woman who's been pregnant for 9 months knows that that's coming. You are not, there's no turning back. Once you're pregnant, there's no way except for to have this baby. There's just, every woman in here knows that's what it is. You're going to have to go through it. There's no turn. There's no getting around it. This, he says, why are you clutching like a woman in travail and be in pain and labor to give birth, daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail? In our day, this criminal cabal should not be surprised that they're going to be cast out of the land into hell. They shouldn't be surprised. They've known this for years and years and years. If you remember, when Jesus was literally talking to the demons, they're like, are you here to cast us out before the time? They knew back in the day of Jesus' time that there was a day that would come that they would be cast. And they knew it was not then. They knew it would be at the beginning of the kingdom, right? They knew that it was going to be after, when the at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, okay? When it would be after the church age. They knew it wasn't then. It was going to be in the future. All right. So they know. Why are they surprised? Well, it's the problem is it doesn't matter when it is. They don't want to be cast into hell. They want to continue to do all their evil on this earth. They want to make hell on earth. Okay, so do you guys see the dual fulfillment here? Okay, so first was for the people. Why are y'all surprised that you're getting cast out of the land? But the fulfillment now is, why are you surprised, New World Order, Satanic cabal, that you're being cast into hell? Okay? And so this is the sign, this woman in travail. I kept reading the minor prophets. I'm like, didn't I just see woman in travail in another passage? Didn't I see that in another? Where? How many times have I seen it? I think it's 18 times you'll see this phrase, woman in travail, because we're trying to birth this kingdom, right? So we are in pain and labor to give birth, like a woman in travail. And it's been a lot of struggle. These people who were cast out, this was hard for them, right? And they had to learn a very, very, very hard lesson. I think there are people who are right now listening to wrong people, just like these. Back in the day, they listened to the wrong people and participated in Baal worship. There are people right now, like this young man, he listened to the wrong ones and did something very horrible to Charlie Kirk. There are people who are listening to wrong social media. They're losing their jobs right and left because they're advocating for violence. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who, got to, wake up and realize they cannot continue to listen to these evildoers. And it's a travail. I've seen people go over there on social media crying a bucket of tears. Well, they should have thought about that before they advocated for violence. And they needed to travail and think about what they've done. And maybe being out of a job for a minute will maybe cause them to think about that, right? So it says, for now, that's why I have it in bold. For now, you'll go out of the city and you'll dwell in the field, right? In other words, you're not going to have the comforts. You're going to be disciplined. You're going to have some difficult things. And it's going to, when you experience, when the people who've done evil, when they experience the suffering, then they might realize, oh, well, I don't want to do that to someone else. I don't want that to do that to someone else. When they've, lost all their rights and privileges, then they might realize, hey, I don't want to do that to someone else. So anyway, they're having to go out and be punished in the field, and you'll even come to Babylon. But there, once this evil is literally rooted out of humanity, you'll be rescued. All right. So yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are on the timeline of history. All right. So I just love that. I love that they have this sign of the Son of Man. Our Lord Jesus said, when you see the sign of the Son of Man, you'll see the Son of Man coming in power. All the earth will mourn. And he will send forth his angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet to gather his chosen ones from the four corners of the earth. Matthew 24, I think it's verse 20. Mm-hmm. He says, when you see that sign, this one right here that I was just showing you, right? This sign right here, I keep getting in the way. But when you see that sign, you will see all those things that have happened. And this is what we're experiencing. He sent forth his angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet to gather us. That's why we're here together. And we're all in this fight. Right? All right. And that's where we are. Not everybody's in the fight, but we are. All right. And then, yeah, this was for those of you who aren't familiar with this, Beyonce performed this woman in labor sign at the Grammys. Yeah, they thought it was their sign of defeat over us. But they were wrong.
They were wrong.
It's a sign of their destruction. All right. They're still fighting. They're still fighting, no doubt about it. All right. Number 10. Oh, is there anything else to add?
This time I do.
Okay, I'm sorry. You went robot.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
You went robot on us. What'd you say?
Oh, John 12:40. That's the one where the Lord's blinded their eyes. That's what I feel for some of these people now. He's blinded some people's eyes and harden their hearts now so that they can't. It's almost like Pharaoh, that whole time with Pharaoh. So that's, to me, the dual philosophy of that. And there will come a point where their eyes will be opened, or there are some that cannot turn to him because he has blinded their eyes. But it's not, we just, our job is to keep praying.
Thank you. Very good point. Yeah. Very good point. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
And because some of them just, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just kept having that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I agree. It's shocking to see where some people's minds are, really.
It's just crazy that they're so hardened.
We had to see it. I really do think that it's kind of a precipice moment.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to find the way to change. We've got to find a way to change. This is a certain disaster for the country, for a society, for the humanity, if people are filled with such, have no idea of justice and are filled with such hate. That's got to stop. And yeah, it will. Somehow, by a miracle of the Lord, we'll be unified. So, yeah, what about number 10? Y'all ready?
Okay. There you will be rescued. There Yahweh will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Now many nations have assembled against you that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye gloat over Zion. But they don't know the thoughts of Yahweh, neither do they understand his counsel. For he has gathered them like the sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hooves bronze. I will devote their gain to Yahweh, and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth.
Yeah.
So, what did the Lord promise to those who repent, for those who refuse to repent?
Yes. Right. And yeah, as it said here at the very beginning of this passage from Micah 4, they have joined together against us, saying, oh, we want to defile them and gloat over them. This is what they've been trying, what they've been doing with everything that they've been putting into our bodies, whether it's through the food or the jabs or all these different things. And they're just thinking it's so funny and to defile us and to gloat over us about our sickness, to gloat over us over, the fact that people are, they think it's so funny that people have become, the homosexuality and the transgender is because of what they've done to our bodies. There's no doubt about it. You've never seen such a thing as this before. And between that and the social media, and they just think it's so funny how they feel like they're able to control people's thoughts and what people do. And I even think with this young man, they were just directing. I'm not saying he's not guilty. He is guilty. He's going to have to pay the consequences. But I'm saying that he opened the door to allow someone to get in his head and to provoke him to do such a thing, to be filling him with hate. And they think that's so funny. Let her be defiled. Let everybody be fighting against each other where they can't even get on a train because it's just they're all just so just defiling everybody, their health, their security, all of this. And they think they love that. That's what the demons just have gleeful pleasure. It's absolutely purely evil. So, but they don't know the thoughts of the Lord, and they don't understand his counsel. He's gathering them together like sheaves on the threshing floor. Do y'all know what happens with the sheaves on the threshing floor? They get beaten. They get beaten and beaten and beaten, and the little grain comes out of the sheaves. And then the leftovers get thrown into the fire. That's what he's talking about. Thresh, daughter of Zion. Arise and thresh. Beat them. Bring judgment down on them. That's what it's talking about right here. We have to be tough. We have to be strong. President Trump is talking about bringing down the death penalty. He's trying to help us to be tough and to be strong and to not let these people get away. We cannot let evildoers get away. We can't. They must pay the price, or our society is curtains. I will make your hooves bronze. I'll make your horn iron. He's making us tough. Making you like iron and bronze. Where you say, we will not put up with this. That's what it's talking about here. I will devote their gain to Yahweh and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. All right, so this is what we, you know, the Lord is telling us to do, is to not let these evildoers get away. And are these verses being fulfilled in our day? Of course, yes. That's back in the, in the first fulfillment was when they were, he was saying that they wanted, the Assyrians wanted to gloat over them and to see them, their whole society wrecked. And they were certainly scattered to the winds. But again, I just love that passage. It says, even in foreign distant lands, you will still call upon my name from there. They could take us out of the land, our ancestors out of the land, but they can't take the Lord out of our hearts. And, you know, even when we sinned, there's that seed in us of faith, that life in us. And they cannot snuff out that light. They cannot snuff out that light. All right, and it's being fulfilled in our day when we're going to thresh them and punish them for their evil against humanity. All right, I think that was the one.
That was it.
All right, so yeah, because I just want to make sure. Uh-oh, I don't want to, make sure that I didn't lose. Okay, good. I just want to make sure that we don't go too fast and miss anything. And here we are at 106. So I'm glad that we made that decision to do a half of this for this week. And so you have the rest of the week to finish your homework. And if you didn't finish the chapter already, so that you can really understand the wonderful, the news that Micah was trying to say. 2,700 years ago, we still get the blessing of what Micah was saying. And so then I guess, next week is when we'll get to the one about, I'll just give you a little preview of that one, this verse right here. And I just noticed that I've got an answer in here. I've got to fix that. I guess you caught that. It says, was it Matthew 6? Micah 6? Bear with me. Where is it? What if I said to you, oh man, but to love? Where is it? Anybody? Can somebody tell me what the verse is? To love justice. Love. I always get it wrong. I got to get that verse down to memory. I don't see it.
It's in Micah 6?
Yeah, I thought so. I don't see it.
I was looking for it earlier when you said that. Are there...
Okay. Before we go, I'm going to look it up real quick to walk humbly with your God. Somebody can help me. That is in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. There we go.
8. Okay.
It's hiding from us. Okay. Here we go. There it is. There it was. The whole time sitting there. Yeah. What he has shown you, oh man, what is good? What does Yahweh require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Okay, that's where I get tangled up. It's to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Okay, act justly. The action is just. We're acting justice. We're loving mercy. And we're walking humbly with our God. Okay, y'all got it? Y'all got it memorized now? All right, so when you do that homework, I want you to focus on what spurred the Lord to say that. I'm not going to tell you now. That's going to be for next week. All right? All right. I think that's everything. All right. So, before we go, don't forget, if you want to get any of these books, they're on Amazon right here. Did you share the link, Miss Tammy? I'll just post this link right here. Miss Songbird. I'll post that right there. And also, I guess that's it. Let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that your word is truth. Nothing can stop what is coming, because you have a plan for good for us, to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. And even when we have had to have difficult days and be chastened and corrected, we know it's because of that we're your children and that you're doing this for our good. And just like Micah was telling the people, then even in the middle of the heartbreak and the difficulties that they were experiencing, that you were reminding them that you would rescue them and that you would never leave them and that they were your remnant. They were your people no matter what. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you that this is the day that we get to witness and to be a part of what you're doing for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Just like the sign of the Son of Man, you've given us that sign so that we know this is it. This is the day. Thank you for bringing us all together. I pray for everyone on the battalion. I pray you continue to strengthen them and guide them and protect them and just work through them and give them great joy in the battle. Help them to feel your presence. Guide them everywhere. Lord, save us from clickbait. Save us from misinformation and all these things that are being put out there that are just to steer us in the wrong direction. Guide us by your Spirit. And again, we pray for the Kirk family and all Turning Point USA. We just ask you to bless them and strengthen them in this difficult time. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, that whether we are here or whether we're with you in heaven, we know that we're always with you. Either way, we're always with you, and that you have a plan for each one of our lives, and we can absolutely trust you, and we don't have to be like those who have no hope. We're not grieving as those who have no hope. We know that even though we're grieving the loss of him being with us, that we will see Charlie again. And Lord, I just wonder if you're going to have him be one of those that is going to have the, like, be a superhero, like you say in Revelation 20. So either way, we trust you, we trust your plan, and we love you. And we pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody, I love you. Don't forget to go and like this, share it. Don't forget to like before you go. And don't forget, if you have any health concerns, I'm going to be posting videos about each one of these. But each one of these links over on the freedomforce.live/health page has a PDF that I've been given that will tell you what this can help you on for your health on. So definitely read about these things and ask the Lord, you know, what to do for your health, because that's what RFK is trying to help us to do, is to not pop a pill, but to make sure that we have the nutrients in our body and then we detox the things in our bodies that they've put in us to defile us, right? And that we, so that we can get our health back. And to be strong and to live 1,000 years, right? I'll put that in the chat before I go. And I'll be in the chat for just a little bit, Tammy and I will. And I guess that's it. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I know, aren't these Minor Prophets amazing? I'm just so thankful to know the Minor Prophets now. So fun. All right, guys, I love you. And we will talk to you later.